It's a historic week in South Africa. The World Cup is coming. When it opens Friday, it will be the first time an African nation has hosted the tournament. South African President Jacob Zuma says the soccer extravaganza will benefit his country long after the month-long competition is over. Vicky O'Hara reports from Johannesburg.
South Africa has spent billions on infrastructure and security in anticipation of being the first African nation to host soccer's biggest international event. The number of foreign visitors for the event has not quite met expectations. Nonetheless, President Jacob Zuma says the tournament has helped his country economically and helped to heal racial divisions.
Building up to the tournament, we have seen something that we've never seen. How enthusiastic everyone has been. All we are left with is to carry this forward as the country, and I don't think we'll ever leave the moment.
Zuma says the country plans to use the World Cup to build up soccer among South African youth, something that inspires, motivates, and teaches discipline. With that in mind, the U.S. national soccer team invited 350 South African children to its practice yesterday in Pretoria. Many of the children are orphans or somehow affected by the country's high rate of HIV/AIDS. The children were dressed in red jerseys, emblazoned with U.S. and South African flags. Their enthusiasm, expressed via the vuvuzela, that's the South African trumpet, was irrepressible. U.S. Ambassador Donald Gipps was there to welcome the children.
Did you guys have fun?
Yes.
Did you blow your vuvuzelas?
Yes.
The ambassador says the 2010 World Cup could be a watershed for South Africa.
You know, people are so proud of what they've achieved here, both the facilities and the execution, and you can feel it in the streets as you drive around and see the flags waving. And I think the South African team is going to surprise everyone with their performance here in the Cup, and everyone will be cheering and blowing their vuvuzelas for them.
When the practice was over, the children were invited onto the field to meet their favorite players. The U.S. team signed photographs and the children's red jerseys. A lot of the young guests were intimidated. Others seized the moment.
Yes, I did have so much fun. I'm just waiting to see Oguchi, the U.S. player. Oh, I don't know. I just love him.
Some of the children admitted they didn't know who it was who had signed their jerseys, but said they'd had a great time anyway. Today, the U.S. team retires from the spotlight to prepare for its all-important opening match against England on Saturday. For NPR News, I'm Vicky O'Hara in Johannesburg.
On Facebook this morning, we asked soccer fans for their memories of past World Cups. Sean Michael Kaplan remembered 2006 when he was inside the airport in Chicago. He writes, "Watched Italy beat France on penalty shootout in O'Hare Airport as my flight was boarding, then sprinted to my gate, and as the last to board a rather rowdy flight to Venice, Italy."
Roxana Khan watched a World Cup game in a seedy bar in the border town of Nogales, Mexico, where she says she drank her first beer. And Bruna Payne says that this year she'll be in Danbury, Connecticut, where, quote, "you'll find the most Brazilians other than in Brazil supporting the best team, Brazil in her opinion, which she spells Brazil. That's 8 R's, 3 A's, 13 I's, and 8 exclamation points.
To share your favorite World Cup moments, visit Morning Edition's Facebook page at facebook.com/NPR Morning Edition.